Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer. As always, we cast the vision before you. And some of you may have seen the markings on the parking lot over there of the survey. As we are believing by faith that God has called us to move a few feet over. Hello, somebody.
Right. Uh-huh.
Amen. We believe by faith that this is what God wants us to do. And I always challenge you to get there before you get there. Imagine yourself in that place now.
All right. Amen.
I keep pointing at this place because that's where I am now.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Yeah. The ushers, y'all better get in y'all place.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
Deacons, I think y'all might be up here somewhere.
All right.
Get in your place. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Or neighbor.
Or neighbor.
Get in your place.
Get in your place.
Because we've got to do this by faith, and we've got to get there before we get there.
Amen.
And as always, during the homecoming and church anniversary time, we're giving those funds to the building program. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to challenge you to give as God leads you to give. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're continuing in our Acts 1:8 initiative series. We're challenging all of the believers within our ranks to share the Lord on the campus, in the city, in the nation, and throughout the world. Mm-hmm. To make this share the love vision a reality by living it and giving it. Bethlehem!
Share the love!
Bethlehem!
Share the love!
And how are we going to share it?
By living it and giving it.
Amen. By living it and by giving it. Amen. And praise the Lord. Today we're going to share a message entitled Times of Refreshing. Times of Refreshing. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 3 verses 19 through 21. Acts chapter 3 verses 19 through 21 in the NIV. Please stand in reverence to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor.
Or neighbor.
Or neighbor.
I'm going to stand on this word.
I'm going to stand on this word.
One, two, three.
Repent.
And return to God.
So that your sins may be wiped out. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything. As he promised long ago through his holy prophets.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. Again, we're going to share around three points. A time of refreshing. We're going to talk about repenting to God. We're going to talk about refreshed by God. We're going to talk about restored by God. We want Christians to know this morning that God has the power to refresh the repentant Christian. God has the power to refresh the repentant Christian. I'm going to share this brief video, and I want you to read the words as they flash across the screen. Y'all miss it. Y'all miss it. And we read the words as we cross across the scene, okay? Okay, are you ready?
Yeah. Repent,
and turn
to God,
so that your sins
may be wiped out. The times of transgression may come.
Amen and praise Amen. The Lord. Talking about this morning, times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. Most of the times, we wouldn't put repent and refreshing in the same category. Most of the times that term repent is used in a way that would cause men or should cause men to tremble. Because when the prophet came on the scene, who was the forebearer of Jesus Christ, one of his primary messages was repent.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And when he told that message of repentance, it really was telling the business of the nation. Because the nation of God or the Jewish people had left God out. And they had gone after other gods.
Yes.
And God don't ever like his people not to live holy unto himself.
Right.
And he will always send a prophet or a man of God on the scene to challenge the nation to repent. And it was said of prophets of old, as God chose the prophets to go to the nation of Israel or Judah, and he would cause them to repent from their idolatry, where they were serving other gods like Baal and Moloch, and some of the stuff that they were doing back then. They were even sacrificing, talking about the children of God, even sacrificing their children to false gods. The second Sunday is a time where we want to encourage the children up. Are we a nation of people that are people of God who are sacrificing their children on the altars of other things that you set as their priority?
Lord, have mercy.
Let me ask that again. Are we sacrificing our children on the altar of other things that we let them know or teach them that are more important than the things of God?
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we allow them to play sports or do stuff on a Wednesday night that will not allow them to be involved in the church? Or do we allow them to do stuff on a Sunday morning where they should be worshiping God and they're out doing other things? Are we sacrificing our children on the altars of things that we prioritize as more important to the things of God?
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. You are their parents, and you should set the priority. There should be nothing that interferes with their relationship with God, nothing that interferes with their worship with God. And if you're allowing that to happen, God is saying and sending me here today to get you to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
To repent. Repentance is not a difficult thing to understand. It's simply, what does repent mean? It means to what?
Turn around.
Hello, somebody. Say that again. It means what?
Turn around.
Just to turn. It's not that difficult. If you're doing something wrong, turn around and head in the opposite direction. Hello, somebody. You've got to make the choices where you prioritize God, not only in your children's life, but in your own life. Because if the life of your children are out of priority,
priority, that really means you are out of priority.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Let me say it again. Mm-hmm. If your children have a different priority, that really means that you have a different priority.
Right. Uh-huh.
Hello, somebody. I can remember a time where children didn't get a choice to go to church.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Mm-hmm. At least when I was growing up, and it's not been that long, my mama made me go to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. She didn't give me a choice.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. And she didn't accept my excuses.
Right.
But my number one excuse was, Mama, I ain't got nothing to wear. And Mama said, well, we're going to go shopping. Hello, somebody.
Well,
because she had a priority of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. And we have to have that priority. Repent. God should be number one.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor. God should be number one.
God should be number one.
He should be number one. No one else has the priority over God. Hello, somebody.
Right.
No one, no thing. Now, I know that you love some things in this life.
Mm-hmm.
I know you may be married and you love your wife and you love your husband, but they shouldn't be number one.
Yeah. All right.
Hello, somebody. If you're in a marriage relationship and your wife says she don't want to go to church this Sunday, hello, what should you do? You should go anyway.
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
And try to encourage her to go as well.
Amen.
Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you know whether your marriage relationship is not in the right priority, if she say, I ain't going to church this morning, and then you say, okay, baby, we'll just stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. We got to have God as our priority.
Right.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
prioritize God.
Prioritize God.
Yeah.
Is he in the number one spot?
Come on.
Hello, somebody. We all like to, especially in athletics, we all want to be number one.
All right.
We want our teams to be number one, and some of our programs, like the Sooner program, you have such a winning tradition that, number two just won't do.
All right.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Almost every year you have a winning season. Almost every year you come out ranked in the top 10. But you mad because they didn't go to what? Number one.
Mm.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And I've seen some prolific athletes in the Olympics. Amongst the fastest runners on planet Earth. But if they don't get number one, they don't feel like they did anything.
Wow.
Especially if they get the number two spot.
Mm.
Wait a minute, you're the second fastest runner on the planet Earth, and you got a problem with that?
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, God says the same thing.
Mm.
Either I'm in the number one place, or I'm in no place. He just will not accept the number two position. He's just upset and mad at his people who put him as number two. Some of you have work as number one and God as number two. Hello, somebody. Some of you have love as number one and God as number two. Hello, somebody. Some of you, but God won't accept the number two spot. Hello, somebody. He's in first place or no place. Hello, somebody. And that's why he tells the people in the text to repent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
And God is saying to somebody this morning to repent. You just got off. Hello, somebody. You just lost it, and many times you can drift and you can not know that you're off, and you have to be reminded, and the man of God has to come along and have to remind you that you've taken God out of the number one spot. Hello, somebody.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Just like we always be waiting around, you know, our team is number one, then they lose the game, and you just wait for it. They're going to lose that number one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're upset. Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
God is saying, to repent to somebody. Mm-hmm. It ain't that complicated. Just turn around. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Then what he say? Return to me. For what? For
I have redeemed you.
God is saying, return to me. You've blown it. Oh, last week. You blown it last month. Oh, you blown it this morning. God says, return to me. Hello, somebody. He said, boy, preacher, this show is a hard message to be entitled Times of Refreshing. Hello, somebody.
All right.
This is a hard message, preacher. I thought you were going to encourage us this morning with times of refreshing. Well, this is a part of the refreshment.
You're right.
If you want God to move in your life,
right,
you got to repent.
Yeah, amen.
You got to live right. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
And the Bible says, oh, he who thinks he has no sin is what?
A liar.
It's a liar. And you hear, oh, you say, well, this message is not for me, then probably the message is for you.
All right.
Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me say it again. If you're here saying this message is not for me, then it's probably for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. Because we learned this morning the importance of humility.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hello,
right,
somebody.
Right, yeah.
Humility. Oh, and when you hear a message like this, God wants you in here. Probably already has. By the power of your Holy Spirit, has some stuff in your life highlighted that he wants you to get rid of.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Yes. But to get out of that number one spot.
Right.
Put God there.
Mm-hmm.
But because without repentance, without obedience, there is no refreshment.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Right.
Because people like to, believe that our God is a heavenly bellhop that jumps to our every wants and our every needs. Hello, somebody. Our God don't work like that.
All right. Amen.
Hello, somebody. You jump to his every want and his every need.
Yeah,
right. Hello, somebody. We've got it backwards in our Christian culture and the USA.
Right.
We are his bellhops here on earth.
All right.
And we are supposed to jump to his every want and to his every need. And when we're not jumping like we should, we need to repent.
Repent.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
And repent simply means to change your mind and head in the opposite direction.
Right, right.
And if you're willing to do this, then God can open the floodgates of heaven.
Yeah.
And let it rain.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Let me say, times are refreshing. He said, okay, now preacher, okay, you get to the good part. Refreshed by God.
By God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. He says, in order for refreshment to come, he says, repent and turn to God. Hello. So that what? So that your sins may be wiped out. And then what happens after your sins are wiped out? Times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Hello, somebody.
Thank you.
Hello, somebody. If I'm willing to live right, if I'm willing to repent, if I'm willing to give God my everything, if I'm willing to put him at number one, that means that in times, when I get discouraged, in times when I get alone, in times when I don't know how I'm going to make it, in times where I can't sleep at night, in times when I'm carrying the stuff on my back, first when I repent, God says that he can refresh.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
He can refresh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody here that needs refreshment
from
the Lord? You see, this is very important when you have a personal relationship with God, because if you don't have a personal relationship with God, you can do stuff over and over again and it's just stale.
Right.
Hello, somebody. You can go through the motions on a Sunday morning and sing Zion songs and not feel it. Because you don't have a personal fresh relationship with God. But every once in a while, even those who love the Lord, we can get stale. Every once in a while, those who love the Lord, we can get burnt out. Every once in a while, we can get tired of seeing all this stuff that's going on in our world today. We get tired of seeing and hearing about violence in the home. If you see an NFL player who beat a woman in the on a elevator, we get tired of seeing stuff going on in the street where police officers are overstepping their bounds. And they're beating people and killing people. We get tired of hearing all the bad news that's going on in the world. Every once in a while, a man of God just get tired. Every once in a while, a woman of God just get tired and just be willing and wanting to give up. I get tired of doing the right thing. Everyone, am I just by myself? Hello, somebody, let me see. Am I just by myself? Oh, do you just sometimes just get tired? Do you sometimes just get weary? Do you sometimes just get worn? Do you sometimes want to give up? Oh, well, maybe I'm just by myself. I'm going to go. Y'all ain't going to be. Y'all can't relate to this.
Well,
hello, somebody.
Come on.
I can
relate.
Every once in a while.
Hello, somebody. I need to be refreshed by the Lord. I need a touch from Him. Every once in a while, I need a word from the Lord. Every once in a while, I don't want to just hear a boring sermon that a preacher is preaching. Every once in a while, I want that preacher to be able to speak deep into the inner recesses of my heart and my mind to know that my God is still alive and He's still well. I need to hear. From the Lord. Hello, somebody. Sometimes you can't just go through the motion. Sometimes life turns black and white and gray. Oh, sometimes, but every once in a while. It's like on a computer screen. You need to hit refresh. Hello, somebody. Oh, hello, somebody. And that's what God says that He does. After we repent. So if you're here today and you're weary and worn and your life is in black and white and you're carrying a heavy burden, a heavy load, if you're here today and you're weighed down, God says, in order for you to push that refresh button, you've got to repent.
Yes.
Hello, somebody, because that's something you ain't doing right.
All
right,
man.
You've got to repent. When you come to the household of the Lord and you just don't experience His worship. Hello, son. There's something wrong with that. Because worship is not about you. Hello, son. Oh, let me say that again.
Right.
Most people come to church because they want to feel good.
Well, come on.
I want to get in here and I want to hear the choir sing because they make me feel good.
All right.
Hello, it's that monster's ball theology where Halle Berry's character cried out, make me feel good. But our God is not in a feeling business.
Right.
He ain't here just for you to make Him feel good or make you feel good. Hello, somebody. You come here today and worship Him because He's worthy. Hello, somebody. And as long as He say worthy, you can worship. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Oh, let me say that again. As long as you keep Him worthy, then you can worship. Otherwise, you'll be in this place singing Zion songs and not feeling a thing. In the right place. Hello, somebody. In Sunday school and not feeling a thing. When the preacher and the man of God get up, you leave and say, boy, that preacher sure was boring. Hello, somebody. I didn't feel that word. Hello, somebody. Maybe, just maybe.
Just maybe.
It's not the preacher.
All right.
Come on.
My Lord.
Maybe, just maybe, it's not the choir.
Yes, sir.
Well, come on.
True.
Hello, somebody. Maybe, just maybe, it's not the Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Maybe we need to repent.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise over here.
Yeah.
Repent. And then when we repent, we can get God's refreshment. So that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And we repeat the last part of Isaiah 40, 29, 31 all the time. But we can focus on the first part of it. It says what? He gives strength to the weary and what? Increases power of the week. Hello, somebody. And it goes on to say, even what? Youthful, tired, and weary. Hello, somebody. Even, you're here today and you're tired and weary. The God said, even youth grow tired and weary. Hello, somebody. And you've seen the energy some of the youth have, especially some of those 2 and 3 year olds. You give them some sugar, they bouncing all over the wall. Hello, somebody. Even they grow tired.
Come on, amen.
Hello, somebody. And young men what? Stumble and fall. Hello, somebody. Oh, but it says what? Those that who what? Hope in the Lord will what? Renew their strength. Hello, somebody. So you repent. Oh, and when you repent, you can get refreshment. And when you get refreshment, that means that you get new strength. You can leave this place. Oh, all energized and excited for the things of God. Oh, I can remember, and my testimony has been, oh, when I was at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, oh, one Sunday, oh, and I had been down, and I was so down, but I always, oh, would try to make myself go to church, and usually, that morning service, usually, oh, when I hear the choir sing, I would feel better, I would be more excited during the worship time, but that Sunday morning, oh, the choir couldn't do it for me, that Sunday morning, the singing couldn't do it for me, and I was so sad, and I was so upset that I was about to get up and leave the sanctuary. Oh, and then as I was sitting there, the preacher got up, and the preacher said, oh, I know that your program says that I'm supposed to preach on this subject, and I did, oh, this morning at the 8 o'clock service, but God is leading me to preach another sermon. Hello, somebody. And then that sermon was entitled, What to Do When the Lights Go Out. Hello, somebody. And by the time I finished, I was excited again. Oh, because I showed up at the household of the Lord. Oh, it wasn't Dr. Evans that Sunday morning. And we know what a great man of God Dr. Evans was, or in is, through kingdom men and kingdom women. Oh, but God had, as we talk about intercessions, the men of God talked about intercession yesterday. I showed up to the household of the Lord, and God had set up an intersection, and this man of God got up, from Los Angeles, Dr. Kenneth Orme. I mentioned him in my book, The Secret to Your Best Life, and he shared a message, and that message, guess what? Refresh me. Hello, somebody. Is there somebody here needs refreshing from the Lord? Is there somebody here that barely made it in here this morning? Oh, and the choir couldn't do it. Sunday school couldn't do it. But guess what? The Word of God just told you how to get it done. You've got to repent for refreshment. And when you repent for refreshment, guess what? Oh, then you get renewed strength. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here, up in here. New strength. Refreshing. And I pray this morning that God has us at an intersection where you came and you heard what thus says the Lord, and you leave this place knowing that you didn't hear from a preacher, but that you've heard from God, and God told you to repent. God told you that he will refresh you, but also there's still some good news in the text. He said, preacher, what's left? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to our third point. Mm-hmm. Hello, somebody. Mm-hmm. It says, restored by God. Mm-hmm. It says in verse 21.
All right.
For God comes, a time comes for God to restore everything.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God says this morning, and this is talking about in this text, an eternal restoration. Where God is going to come back with Jesus and he's going to restore all things. But the principle we want to get from here is that God is a restoring God. That God can restore some things in your life that you lost. Oh, God can show you who he is when you've lost everything. Oh, it was a king that, it was a year that King Uzziah died. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
It was a year when the king on earth, a great king, a powerful king, a king that, oh, some theologians say that was related to the prophet, which means he had a personal relationship, a family relationship. It was that year where he lost a king that had a prosperous reign. Oh, many, many years of prosperity. But it was in that year that that king dies. That's what? That he was high, that he had a vision of being high and lifted up in the presence of God. And that's where we get that hymn, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. It was that year. Oh, in other words, the king on earth died, but God showed him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a restoration. He had lost his earthly king, but God showed him the King of Kings. What a restoration. And there's somebody here today. You're concerned about what's going on in your life. You're concerned about some things that you lost in your life. You're concerned and wondering if you can make it in your life, because that pivotal person, or you lost that pivotal job, and you're wondering whether you can make it. You're wondering whether there's no hope. Oh, and God sent me here this morning to let you know that first of all, you need to repent, because in that song, oh, where the man of God was lifted up high, the first thing he had to do is admit that he was a man of unclean lips. Hello, somebody. In other words, he had to repent before he was restored. Hello, some, and refresh. Let me say that again. He had to repent before he was refreshed and before he was restored. He had to repent. Hello, somebody. God said this morning, repent and I can refresh you. Repent and I can restore you, because I am God and God all by myself. I don't need an earthly king. I don't need your mama. I don't need your dad. I don't need your job. I don't need your wife. I'm God all by myself. And I, and the man of God is sent today to remind you of who God is. Oh, and he's a restoring God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, our neighbor, our God can restore. Our God can restore. And when we learned of that principle here, oh, last Wednesday night, oh, in a lesson that Sister Eton wrote for the Sunday School Publishing Board, oh, they gave her Jeremiah 30. And Jeremiah 30, 18 says, this is what the Lord says, I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tent. Hello, somebody. And have compassion on his dwelling. The city will be what? Rebuilt on her ruins, and the place will stand in its proper place. Oh, God said in that text, oh, for you theologians, we know that that was a promise, oh, for Jacob, Israel, or Judah. But we know, we pull the principle out of there, and that principle is restoration. God has the power. Oh, if he can do it for them, guess what? He can do it for me. And what's so amazing about this text, he was promising them to restore them right at the place where they lost it all, right on those ruins, right at that place where there was no hope, right at that place of that disaster, right at that place, oh, where they lost it all and was a public shame. God says, I'm going to restore you right where you lost it all. Hello, somebody. Somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise. Come in here, up in here. He said, I'm going to restore you right where you lost it all. In other words, somebody, you got fire, oh, and you lost it all, and God said, I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to restore you right where you were ruined, in Jesus' name. I said, give God a hand clap of praise. Come in here, up in here. I'm going to restore you right where you lost it all, in Jesus' name.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Hello, somebody. I'm going to restore you right where you lost it all.
Yeah.
What a word of encouragement.
Yeah.
It says in that palace it will stand in its proper place.
Oh, Lord.
Some of you are out of place right now.
Oh,
hello, son. Yeah. Let me tell you, some of you, God said, I know you're out of place right now.
Uh-huh.
I know you're not in the right place.
Yeah.
I know I haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah.
You're out of place right now. Mm-hmm. But God says, I have a place for you. Yeah. And it's going to be that place where I bless you. That place where you lost it all. And I'm going to restore you right back.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to restore you right in that body of yours where you lost it all. I'm going to give you good health right back in that place. Oh, one of my favorite shows is The Biggest Loser. The Biggest Loser. And they're doing a new thing this year where they're bringing back people who were athletes.
Right.
Yeah, world-class athletes.
Amen.
But somehow they allowed life to happen.
Oh, Lord.
And life happened, and these great athletes, I believe they had a Super Bowl winner, I think, and Zena Garrison, she was a great tennis player, and many other great athletes, they brought them back to lose weight. Hello, somebody. They were once great in their bodies.
Right, right.
And they were ruined. Hello, somebody. By life. Many of them were ruined because they played sports their whole life and then they had to find something else to do. Hello, somebody. But the good thing about that show is that they're going to get restored back.
All right.
Hello, somebody. To their primary form. Hello, somebody.
Yeah, all right.
As they go through the weeks, they're going to get restored back. They're going to lose the weight. And they're going to be as great as they were before they lost the weight. Hello, somebody. They're going to get restored right back in the place where they lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
And that's what God is saying to somebody
all right.
today. I'm going to restore you right in that place where you were destroyed. Hello, somebody. I'm going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And but the first thing you need to do is you have to repent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what those athletes have to do to get back in proper form. They have to repent and say, what does repentance mean for them? They can't be eating the way they eat. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. They got to repent. Hello, somebody. They got to change their ways. They got to go back to the way it used to be when they were athletes. I can remember meddling TJ in his athletic days when he would sometimes be around us when we would eat. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
And you know Bethlehem, we know how to eat. And I used to meddle him, and I used to say, now, TJ, that what you're supposed to eat?
Yeah.
And he would even say, well, I eat clean most of the time.
All right.
So he could do a cheat meal. God is calling some of us to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. You want the blessings to be the way it used to be?
Mm.
The way it used to be was that you were doing the right thing.
All right.
You had God as priority number one.
All right. Priority.
Hello, somebody. Yeah. And you were being blessed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You weren't walking around looking miserable the way you are now. Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You were doing the right things. And now if you want to be blessed, repent.
Repent.
Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Repent, church.
Yes, Lord.
Because when you repent, you can be refreshed.
Yeah.
And when you're refreshed, guess what? Then you can be restored.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody here this morning want to be restored?
My Lord.
Amen.
Is there some place in your life that you need to be restored to?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. I know with me, my doctor told me I had to repent in my body. Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you got to repent, boy. Hello, somebody. You can't do what you're doing. You're destroying yourself. Hello, somebody. In my body, hadn't realized how bad I had gotten. I lost all the energy I used to have. He said, "Preacher, but you was preaching, you know, like a madman." But I leave here and couldn't do nothing else. Go home and sit on the couch, couldn't do nothing. Tell somebody. But when I repented and start doing the right thing, God refreshed my life.
Amen.
And he's continually restoring me.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
All eyes closed and heads bowed. Deacons, will you come? Saints are praying. We're talking about times of refreshing this morning. Is there anybody here this morning that needs refreshing? Has life for you have turned gray and God says this word was for you. But you have to repent. And when you repent, I'm going to refresh you. And when I refresh you, I'm going to restore you. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ knew about the times of refreshing. Jesus Christ never had to repent, but he does know what it's like to carry the sins of the world. Oh, let me say that again. Somebody didn't get it. Because you say, "Preacher, now, if he didn't ever have to repent, how would he know about carrying the sins of the world?" I'm glad you asked, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God had to send someone who would never sin to be a sacrifice for our sins. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who again never had to repent, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, he struggled to, and he had issues with the cup. But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." So that the world could have a time of refreshing, he would come out of that Garden of Gethsemane. He would be crucified. He would be mocked. He would be scorned. He would be beaten. They would put a cross on his back and lead him to the streets of Jerusalem and take him to that hill called Golgotha, that place of the skull. And they would nail him to the cross and raise him up between two thieves. You said, "Preacher, where is the time of refreshing when he had to go through all that?" I'm glad you asked. Jesus, they couldn't take his life. He had to give it away, and he gave his life, or he chose to give it away, and he gave his life for the sins of the world. And they took him off that cross, laid him in a borrowed tomb. And the Bible says that he was dead on the first day. And he was dead on the second day. You said, "Preacher, where's the time of refreshing?" I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible says on the third day that he got up with all power in his hands. On the third day, he would refresh the world with salvation. On that third day.
Yes, Lord.
And if there's somebody here today that needs to have a personal relationship or wants to have a personal relationship with God, we want you to slip out of your seats right now. Slip out of your seats right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe somebody else here today, maybe you need to be baptized and take that first step of obedience. You gave your life to Jesus Christ now, but you didn't want to be baptized in front of all those people. God says, repent and do the right thing and be baptized. Somebody else, maybe you have, you need a church home. You thought that you could live the Christian life on your own. The word of God says differently.
Right.
It says that we have to assemble together. Hello, somebody. Repent and join or become a disciple within this church. Maybe you need prayer. You said, "Preacher, I can relate. I'm worn out. I don't see any hope. God says, why don't you come before and let the people of God pray for you so that you can be refreshed and restored.
I want to thank you for listening today. And we want to take this opportunity to describe the ABCs of salvation. The A of salvation is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The B of salvation is believe in your heart. And the C of salvation is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can do those three things today, then you can be saved. If you can believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that he died for your sins and was buried and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. And you can pray a simple prayer of salvation and just ask God into your heart to accept, believe, and confess today, and you will be saved. You pray a prayer of salvation. We want you to become a part of a church home. If you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, we want to see you at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We want to thank you for listening. Bless you. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com. The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com, or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.